Go ahead and be seated. All right, open your Bibles up with me to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Get there. And let's just begin reading verse 1. Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy, a young pastor, giving him a charge. And he says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Now, Paul writes this to Timothy, and he tells him, he says, you preach the word. You preach the word. Now, let me give that to you here in the New Living. I like the New Living. It says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Jesus and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Well, we're living in that time, church. Exactly what Paul's telling Timothy. We're living in those times. We preach the word, and yet it falls on deaf ears a lot of times, because even though we give somebody the word, understand that there's always somebody out there that's watering that down, sugarcoating that, making it not what it is. You see, it just takes a little change in something to change the whole meaning of something. One word, one thing, you know. And I'll give you a perfect example. And actually, it's in a Bible. When you look at the New International Version of the Bible and you go over to Romans chapter 10, where it says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Okay? See, we have a but, or a condition here. There'll be no condemnation if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Right? That's what King James says, and a lot of others. But your New International Version leaves that out. It just says that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You see, it makes a big difference in what the verse says. So basically, New International Version says, if you're born again, then don't worry about it. You'll have no condemnation. Right? But if you look at the King James, he says you're not going to have as long as you're living right. And I believe King James, don't you? And so it doesn't take much. But see, that there's that kind of thing going on. Of course, now, you know, we have just crazy people out there trying to write Bibles to match their lifestyles. And they're trying to add homosexuality to the Bible and all that stuff. So you have to make sure that you're getting the true Word of God. Because truthfully, the true Word of God is the only thing that's going to change you. It's the only thing going to take place in your life that will actually move on the inside of you. Now, jump there here in chapter 4. Back up to chapter 2 here in 2 Timothy. Paul's still writing here. Notice in verse 15. He says, to study to show thyself approved unto God. Notice, study to show yourself approved unto God. Let me say that one more time. Approved unto God. You don't study so that you can say, well, I'm going to impress people with my knowledge of the Word of God. You study to show yourself approved unto God. Amen? Then he goes on and he says this, "Study to show yourself proven unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Notice here now that Paul's telling Timothy, make sure that you show your study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, Hymenaeus and Philetus were arguing that the resurrection had already taken place. The New Living in that says, they've left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. See, it's dangerous when you don't tell people the real truth, the real word. When you start giving your opinion of the word, right? We're to give the truth of the word. What the word actually says. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't take the word and sometimes and summarize and bring some things. As long as it stays in context with the word of God, that's different. But you see, they were taking it all the way, even though, you know, Jesus had talked about the resurrection. Paul had preached about the resurrection. These two were trying to say, well, it's already happened. Well, you know, if it had already happened, then people had missed it. And so they didn't care whether they went to church or not. They didn't care whether they followed after the Lord Jesus anymore or not. They missed it, you see. And so we have to be careful about those things. It's the same thing as a lot of times the grace teaching. Thank God for grace. We would none be here if it weren't for the grace of God. Right? But some people take that, see, and they try to take it a little farther so that they can live a lifestyle that's really a lifestyle of sin and say that they're still under grace. Well, I've been born again, you know, been baptized, and so I'm all right. Well, you know, that's not what the Bible teaches. If you study the Word of God, you'll find out Jesus said, "Be ye holy even as I'm holy." See, we're to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, follow after God, and watch His characteristics. See what He did, and that's what we have to do. If Jesus had to do it, so do we. If He had to live a righteous lifestyle, so do we. It's up to us whether we do it or not, but now that's what we have to do. So, we're commanded to study the Word so that we can preach the Word and patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage people with good teaching. And here's the thing. All I can do is preach the Word. It's up to those that hear the Word what they do with it. It's up to you. You heard the old statement, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Now, am I going to continue to encourage you? Am I going to continue to preach the Word to you? Of course I am. But it's up to you what you do with that. You can sit there and let it go in one ear and out the other. Or you can take that word and say, you know, this is the word of God to me, and so I'm going to take this word to heart, and I'm going to do that word. You see, it's important that we not only hear the word, but that we do the word. And I'm going to show that to you here in Scripture because I want you to see this. In James chapter 1, jump there with me. James chapter 1, verse 22, look what James says. He says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." Now, you know, is that in your Bible? Yes. So, you know, that's a commandment. Right? Come on, it's what the Word of God tells you to do. Be a doer of the word. And he says, "And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein." Notice that continueth therein. "He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Notice that. It's the doers of the word that get blessed, not just the hearers. See, and the Lord just kind of spoke to me about this. Here's what he told me. He said, being a hearer and not a doer is like reading an instruction manual and then not following it. Amen. You know, and sometimes men are bad to do that kind of thing. We get instruction manuals and we won't even read them. But, you know, the thing about it is, if you've got an instruction manual for whatever it is you're doing, whether you're putting something together or whether it's you're operating something, if you read the manual and do what the manual says, you're going to be successful. It's the same way with the Word of God. If we read the Word of God and do the Word of God, then we're going to be successful. We're going to be blessed because God can't lie. Right? He's going to do what He said He would do. Now, I started thinking about this, you know, about not following the instructions. And, you know, Jonah didn't follow the instructions of God. Y'all remember the story of Jonah when God told him to go down and preach against Nineveh. And he didn't want to go there, so he goes down and instead of getting a ship. Now, I understand this. Jonah could have been on a ship, sitting back, cruising along with not having a problem, just obeying God, doing the instructions God told him to do, and been on his way to Nineveh. But instead of doing what God said, instead of following the instructions, he got on a ship going to Tarshish. Now, he's still on a boat, but the difference is, when they get out there, that storm comes up. Things start going crazy. And the ship owners are going crazy. And the men on the ship are going crazy. And they go get Jonah and bring him up and say, what's going on here? And Jonah has to say, well, it's because of me. And he said, you're going to have to throw me overboard. And they don't want to do that. But they end up having to throw him over. Now, he could have been riding in luxury on his way to Nineveh. But instead, he got to take a trip in the subway. Right? He got thrown over off the ship and the whale swallowed him up. And he still had to make the trip. Right? But he, instead of making the trip in a ship in comfort, probably eating, taking it, you know, just sitting back because, you know, he was hired to ride. Now, all of a sudden, his ride is a whale, and he's in the belly of that whale, and he's in such despair, he actually was in the bowels of death. And it's in that place that he finally came to himself and realized, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And then the Bible says the whale vomited him out on the ground, and he's over there, and he's got to take off, and he's still got to do what God told him to do. If he'd have followed the instructions of God, I'm sure things would have been a whole lot easier for him, right? Well, you know, then I'm just meditating, thinking about folks that didn't follow instructions, because if we're not careful, we can fall into that category and not follow the instructions of the Lord and get ourselves in trouble. But remember David, you know, the Philistines actually whipped up on the Israelites because they weren't obeying God. They end up capturing the Ark of God. Of course, it brings a curse on them because it wasn't meant for them. And so they put the thing on a new cart and send it out, and the Israelites find it, and it goes into a camp there, Abinadab's camp, and they're being blessed. And the ark stays out of Jerusalem for something like 20 years. And David finally says, you know what, the ark ought to be up here in the city. And so let's go. He got his leaders together. He said, let's go get the ark and bring it home. And he goes down there, and of course they go down there. They've got it on a new cart, and they're bringing it back. You know, they're praising God. They feel like everything is good. But the trouble is, they're not following the instructions. And the Bible says they came to a place, and it rocked, and it apparently the ark must have looked like it was going to fall off. And Uzzah, one of the guys helping to lead the ark alone on the cart, put his hand out just to steady it. It wasn't like he did something awful. He just didn't want the ark to fall off the cart. But he died there because of that. Of course, David was tore up. He was hurt because of it. You know, they left the ark. They went home. It went into Obed-Edom's house and around his family. Guess what? They started getting blessed. And then David begins to go back and do an account and start going back and searching some things out, I believe. And he came to the conclusion, and he calls them up again, the leaders, and he said, listen, We're going to go back and get the ark. But he says, nobody's supposed to be carrying that ark except for the priest. And they're supposed to be bearing it upon their shoulders. So the reason we had that breach on us, the reason we had that problem, is because we didn't do things in due order. In other words, what he was saying is, we didn't read the instructions. We didn't do the way we were supposed to do, the way that we were instructed to do. And so there's two different cases of where if you don't read the instructions and then do what the instructions say to do. Now, it wasn't like both of those men didn't have the instructions. Right? Come on. God gave Jonah the instructions to him. David had the Word of God. He had the scrolls. He had, right? Come on. He knew how, he had the means to know how to transport the ark. He had the instructions. But he chose not to do what the instructions said and do it his way. Come on, think about it. Now, in his eyes, it looked like he was doing a good thing, and it would be a good thing to get the ark back into the city. But he chose to do it his way instead of God's way. A lot of Christians today, they're wanting to do things their way. Amen. They want to do it their way instead of God's way. And I'm going to tell you something. The only way that you can get it done right is to do it God's way. Amen. Now, I gave you two bad examples. Let me give you a good example. Noah. Noah followed God's instructions to the T to build the ark. Now, and you can say what you want to, but Noah was a man of faith. He's building the boat in seemingly a place that, what are you going to do with the boat there? But God tells him it's going to rain. Now, I've studied out and I've seen some that Dake, he says that he thinks it rained beforehand, even though the Bible talks about it watering, the earth being watered from the ground. But his reasoning for that was that the earth still had the atmospheric conditions of evaporation and all that, and he thought it rained. Now, that'll be up to you whether you think that might be right or not, but the Bible said the earth was watered from the ground. So Noah's building the ark in a place, and God gave him instructions to build this. Now, there's no doubt that he was ridiculed. People probably was asking him, what in the world are you doing? Now, here's something you've got to understand. Noah worked on this thing, according to theologians, he worked on this thing probably anywhere between 55 and 75 years building this thing. I mean, that's a long time to be doing that. And, you know, you have to get the timing. I understand that when he told him to, when he was talking about mankind, if you remember, when he's getting ready to destroy the earth with water, that's when he told Noah that man's days was going to be 120 years there. And a lot of times it gets preached that it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. But the truth is, you have to study it out, see how old Noah was. But also, Noah said he was going to take it. The Bible says that he took his wife and his sons and his wife's sons. So you have to take into account that his sons had to been around for long enough for his sons to grow up and then marry. Okay? So if you take all that into account, you can see where they get between 55 and 75 years that he's building that thing. And the reason I'm making a point about that is that he followed God's instructions for between 55 and 75 years to the T. We have a hard time following God's instructions for a week. Come on, let's just be honest about it. We struggle with things. And no doubt, through his mind, he's wondering, why am I doing all this, other than the fact that he's got a word from God that says that it's going to rain. And of course, when it started raining, you know, I mean, God brought the animals, we know the story. Then God shut the door, and then it rained and covered the earth. We know that. But we see a man here that was willing to follow God's instructions even through ridicule and for a long duration of time. So we might as well make up our mind. I don't know about you, but I'm in this thing for the long run. I'm in this thing until either I leave this earth through death or till Jesus comes and gets me. And I'm believing God that we're the generation that Jesus is coming to get us. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but God, it's in His hands. It's in His time. And even the Lord Jesus Christ don't know that. But I believe we're the generation that'll get to see the coming of the Lord. Now, we can argue different things or whatever. And it might not be for another 100 years. But either way, we've got to stay faithful. You still follow God. You still keep following God's instruction. Now, go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Because it's so important that we follow instructions. Joshua chapter 1. And when I talk about following instructions, you all do understand I'm talking about following the Word and doing the Word. Right? As a child of God, our instruction book is the Word of God. The Word of God is the will of God. I don't have to pray to seek the will of God about most things because He's already written it down in a book for me. Amen. Does God want me healed? Yes, He does. By His stripes you were healed. Does God want me prosperous? Yes, He wishes above all things that I be prosperous. Does God want me to have a good life? Yeah, Jesus said He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. See, that's God's will for our life. Does God want every person to get saved? Yep, God's not willing any should perish, but all come to repentance. And, right? So God's will is here, but if we don't read it and do it, how can it benefit us? Okay, look here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Okay, he tells Joshua, you know, Moses has died. He's putting Joshua in charge. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now notice here, he's telling Joshua, he says, listen, if you'll observe and do my word, if you'll meditate on it day and night, if you'll keep it. See, to meditate means to mutter it. Even under your voice or out loud. I mean, do y'all remember in school how when you were trying to learn something? Right? Come on. What'd you do? You set it out, right? Let me bring it to one that's because some people's like, well, I just really never studied in school. Do you remember when you were trying to get your driver's license? Let's hit where everybody, you know, I mean, growing up, that was the thing, right? I guess it still is, you know. But you got that manual, that instruction book, and you had to read that thing, and you had to pretty well try to memorize what everything it said because it had the laws and all the instructions that for driving so that you could pass that test. What'd you do? You'd sit there and you'd read that, and then you'd put your book down and you'd try to say it out or let it run through your mind so that you could start getting it. You know, and if you was lucky enough to have a study partner, you'd give them the book and say, here, ask me some questions. Right? So you were trying to learn this thing. Well, when he talks about meditating, that's what he's talking about with Joshua. He said, Joshua, you just keep going over and over and over in this word because I want you to not only just observe the word, or in other words, hear the word, but I want you to do the word. And if you do the word, then you're going to have good success. And then you're going to make your way prosperous. Just because you say you're a child of God does not mean you're going to have good success and be prosperous. Amen. Just because somebody says, I'm a church member at New Generation Church where they preach the word of faith and they believe in prosperity and healing, mean you're going to have prosperity and healing if you don't take advantage of it. Amen. Because, you know, being a member here don't get you blessed. Amen. What gets you blessed here is hearing the Word of God and doing the Word of God. What gets you blessed here is learning how to use faith and then using faith. Because I can sit here and instruct you all day long about faith and what to do and how to act and what to say and do all those things. But if you won't do it, it won't benefit you. I can sit here all day and tell you how you're already healed of God. According to the Word of God, I can give you the Word concerning healing that you're already healed in God's eyes. You're already prosperous in God's eyes. You've already been given all of God's promises. But you see, if you won't study that out for yourself and apply it to your life and do it, it won't help you none. You'll stay sick, you'll stay broke, and you won't enjoy the life that God's given you. Why? Because you're not taking advantage of the instructions that's been given to you. Right? We have to learn how to do that. You know, I get tickled sometimes, and I use this a lot because it's just so funny. When these boys went to Tennessee and got lost on the way back, you know, it took them all night long to get home. They ended up in the tunnel up there around Beckley somewhere up there trying to get home from Tennessee, you know. And they were talking. I get it, you know. But the funny part, that's kind of funny, but the funny part is that once they realized they were lost now, they stopped at a place and they asked for instructions of how to go. And they pulled out of the parking lot and didn't go a mile and they were already lost again. And they had to turn around and go right back to that same place and follow the instructions so they could get back on track. See, so what I'm saying, and I'm not, you know, it's funny, they laugh about it too. But I'm using it for an example because, you know, just because we get an instruction, if we don't get it, it won't work for us. They got instructions of where to go, what to do, but they forgot. And if you don't meditate on the Word and keep that Word before your eyes, and keep it in your heart and keep muttering it over, you can forget. And once you forget, you get lost again. And all of a sudden, you're not where you need to be and doing what you need to be. Amen. So we need to understand that our instruction book is so important. The Word of God is so important for us to do the Word. Now let me show you one other thing. You know, can I just say this, that doing the Word is not just doing the letter of the Word. Okay, doing the Word means that I'm also attending to the thoughts and the intents of the Word, or of what the Bible teaches. You know, what I'm saying is this, I don't have to have an exact quote to tell me whether something's right or wrong. Okay? I don't have to have an exact quote, but if it falls into a category of what the Bible teaches, then I know. Right? I don't have to have a scripture that says abortion is wrong. I don't have to have an exact scripture to know that abortion's wrong, because I have the Word of God that says, thou shalt not shed innocent blood. Amen. I can study the Word and see in the context that God was very displeased with the people that did the Baal worship that had their babies burned alive, killing babies. So it doesn't take a genius to see, according to the Word of God, that killing babies is wrong, whether they've been born yet or not. See what I'm saying? Some folks want an exact quote. For example, you know, when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with evidence of speaking in other tongues. See, a lot of folks, because the Bible doesn't say you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, a lot of folks won't believe it. But all you got to do is study the Word out and find everywhere they got baptized with the Holy Ghost, they spoke in other tongues and prophesied most of the time. So I don't have to have an exact quote to tell me that that's right. I have the Word of God there and it falls into that category and you see it. You know, sometimes people try to use Paul and say, well, now, you know, when Ananias laid hands on Paul, he didn't speak in tongues. Remember Ananias, when he went in, God gave him the charge, the instructions. Go down there, there's a man, and he's praying, the name Saul. I want you to go in and lay hands on him that he'll receive his sight. Remember that? Ananias says, Lord, I've heard about this man. This man, he has the power to kill people. But he still obeys God's instructions. And he goes down and he finds Saul right where God said he'd find Saul. And Saul's praying. Ananias goes in and he says, "Brother Saul," and he lays hands on him and said, "The Lord sent me to that you might receive your sight." And he said, "And be filled with the Holy Ghost." Come on now. But the Bible doesn't say Paul ever spoke with tongues there. But you have later on, see in context, you have Paul saying, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all." So we know that he spoke in other tongues. You see, so a lot of times when we talk about studying the Word, doing the Word, we're wanting, especially for people that are looking for a scapegoat or looking for a way to kind of scurvy around what God's instructions are, they'll say, "Well, no, the Bible doesn't really say that." But yes, the Bible does say it. It just doesn't say it letter for letter. But you have all the implications of that's what God said. You know. And so you have to take it that way. You see it that way. And so it's important when we're doing the Word, then we know what's right to do. So let's do what's right. Right? Amen. See, it's as believers, we have no other choice but to do the Word, because if we don't do the Word, then we're going against the Word. And if you go against the Word, you're going against God. Right? So we want to make sure that we're going with God, doing what God says, doing what the Word of God says. Now, look over here in Psalms, and I'll close with this. Go with me to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1 says this: "Blessed is the man." Somebody say blessed. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Look at number 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." There that is again, that meditating day and night. What makes that man blessed? Well, number 1, not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, or in other words, he doesn't get his advice from ungodly people. Be careful who you get advice from. Be careful who you listen to. And notice this, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. In other words, you're not in that place to where you're trying to usurp over people and people that are, especially people that are not such good people. Watch about your association there. But then he goes on and says, "Delights in the law of the Lord," and in that he meditates day and night. What's the result of that? "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also so shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Notice that. It brings blessing for us to meditate in the law or stay in the Word. Notice, planted like trees by the water. Anybody ever notice in the spring? I love the spring season. And I talked about seasons there the other day. I love the spring season. And one of the things that I really start loving is when spring is getting ready to start. Anybody ever notice that the first trees that start blooming out are always close to the water? Next to the creeks, next to the streams, next to the rivers, right? It's because that water is nourishing them. And see, that's what God says. When we get into the Word of God and we meditate on the Word of God, that Word of God is like water to a tree, to us. I don't know if y'all noticed. I don't know if maybe it didn't happen at your house. Something I noticed. Anybody else's yard get brown through any through this drought thing? You know, I think most people, they see at least a little brown. Mine actually at places felt like it was kind of crunchy. You know, it was so dry, you know. But you know what? There was some places that it wasn't. Over top of my leaching chambers. Why? Because there was always constant water going through there, and those, they leached out the water. And the grass actually, it's right now I got to get it cut, because that grass is that tall compared to the rest of it. It's kind of is growing again. You know, what the water was the nourishment, you see. Of course, that's probably fertilized water there. I don't, you know, I mean, who knows? I mean, but I'm trying to say this, that water was the nourishment for that grass. Just like the Word of God is our nourishment to help us grow. That's why the Word says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. But you can't stop with the milk, see. You've got to go on and get into the meat. And how do you get the meat? Strong meat belongeth to them that have their senses exercised by reason of what? Use. Doing the Word brings you to the place where you can handle strong meat. The more you do the Word, the stronger you grow, the more Word you can handle, and the more blessing that will come because of the Word. I don't know about you, but I'm going to do the Word. I'm going to be blessed because I'm doing the Word. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that doing the Word is your will for our lives. And that doing the Word, it's your plan to get your people blessed and over into the blessing. Now, thank